Census 1234 invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and briefly Dylan Moran.
Good morning, everybody. It's me again. Ed's here.
Morning.
And can we have a big round of fake applause for our special guest? Dylan Moran is joining us. And what I think could be called an ungodly hour. We're sorry to drag you in, Dylan.
That's all right. Hello, good morning, everybody. Hello.
Now, look, obviously people in Australia know you for Black Books, but a lot of people are not aware that you're also a really good stand-up comedian. And I had a look at the DVD of a show you did called Monster.
Yes.
Fantastic stuff.
Oh, thank you.
It is. How's it going down?
Can I cough on this session?
You can cough. That's completely acceptable.
Thank you. And furthermore.
And we'll have another coughing fit coming up in the next break.
Right.
And how do you find the Australian audiences are taking to your act?
People have been very, you know, nice in that they turned up and they sat down. And you can't ask anything more of an audience, really.
No.
They're superb at sitting down and looking at me. And I'm as happy as I've ever been.
Are you really?
Yeah.
And do you, because of course you haven't got one of those acts where you have to change things. So do you find you can just come here and?
Oh, I've been doing the same material for 30 years. That's right. I never change anything. What do you mean change it? What to say? You do. I have to say hello, Melbourne. Hello, Sydney. Constant innovation.
I've done a lot of things where people come in and they'll be comedians from England and they'll have a long list of things that they want to know. They'll go, who's the stupidest footballer in the country?
Oh, yeah, I see what you
mean. And then they'll go, right, I'll change that to that. Who's the most untrustworthy politician? Okay, I'll change. Do you have this commercial? Constantly things like that.
It's work.
Exhausting?
That's a lot of work. Yeah, no, I don't really, you know, I do ask questions about wherever it is, you know, but it's not exactly investigative journalism. It's generally, you know, where's the theatre?
Now, I know that you don't like doing interviews. Almost every interview I've read with you.
How do you know that? What are you basing that on?
Every single interview I've read with you, it's got at some point, probably not you, but at least the interviewer claims that you.
You have to understand, everything that you've read about is just a step on the journey to this point where actually I am truly, for the first time myself, I feel like I'm touched for the very first time here in this confab with you.
I don't have any. You're leafing through my notes there, but I don't have any notes from you at all.
Are you very dependent on these?
No, these are just articles from the newspaper.
But are you very dependent on them for the show? Are you saying that you're incapable of actually spontaneously talking to people?
Absolutely. Unless I've got something out of the paper that's been highlighted with a pink felt pen, there's no program. It's okay. Just hours of silence goes out.
All right.
It's a waste of time. I've kept a bit about Samuel Beckett. I'm not sure if you're a fan of Samuel Beckett's work.
Yeah, I like Samuel Beckett.
I noticed that the city of Dublin is embracing Samuel Beckett. Posters bearing his words greet arrivals at the airport. That's a wonderful idea for people visiting Ireland.
Yeah.
It's a Samuel Beckett just jumping out at the walls at them.
Well, I suppose it depends on which ones they pick, really. And there are always safe.
Did you ever see that Samuel Beckett play where it was just a mouth on the stage? Have you seen that one?
Not I, yeah. I know the play, yeah.
Have you done that? Have you done any Samuel Beckett?
It's written for a woman, so no, I've never done it, but pardon. I know the play.
Right. Have you done some Samuel Beckett, Ed?
No, I saw it, you know, seen some, but never been in it.
I was in Endgame once. I had to sit in the rubbish bin. I was Nag, sitting in the rubbish bin. It was in Auckland, and the doctor put me on quinine tablets.
What's that?
Because it's like to stop you from having muscular cramps, because we did three performances a day, so I had to curl up in a ball.
What was the bin?
In a rubbish bin. It was like a huge rubbish bin. But I was like cramped in there. And then I discovered later that in professional productions in the UK, they would have a trapdoor so the actor could sneak in and out.
Yeah, right.
That's obviously high end production, though.
Yeah. No trapdoor in our production at all. It's just a waste of time.
It's an actual bin.
And of course, Samuel Beckett, the great thing about Samuel Beckett is you can just extend. You can make it go for three or four.
Yours?
We went for 3 hours.
Wow.
We just kept going. The director just gave more pauses.
Quite wimpy, really. I've heard productions that go for 11 or 12 hours just for.
So you reckon we weren't putting in?
Two-page play. Yeah, yeah. I don't think you're really getting into it enough.
But you get, for three shows a day, you can't do 11 hours. It's just madness.
Well, that's all a question of commitment. You have to change the clock.
Dylan, have you got any questions at all? Is there anything about Australia that's occurred to you that you might
Oh, I came in, I had a whole file, but I looked at you and I didn't think you knew anything. No, what's to know about Melbourne? Is there anything I need to know? What, are you living under some kind of...
regime?
Yeah, is there anything... Is there a curfew?
There's about to be one introduced. Premier Brax. We have a premier in Victoria who loves to be photographed with things. So if you want to get some publicity for your show, just go and stand next to him. He's
okay.
Constantly being photographed.
All I know is wheat. Does he sell wheat?
I don't know. Probably. It's you've arrived in this.
What is that scandal? I haven't really followed it. Somebody sold wheat to Iraq.
Yeah. So, well, we sell wheat to Iraq, but in order to get them to buy the wheat,
They've
had to just slip a bit of extra money in for Saddam Hussein. And this is going on at the same time as we're going to war with Saddam Hussein. So We're actually financing Saddam Hussein at the same time we were toppling him.
Okay.
So a few people had a problem with that.
Mm. With wheat. It's the wheat that threw me in that. Most governments just go for straight, chicanery when it comes to weapons or money, but you did it with bread rolls.
That was the first use of the word chicanery on this, a new program on the Triple M network. We'll be back for some more in just a moment on Get This.
Triple M.
It's Billy Idol, of course it is, with White Wedding here at Get This on Triple M around the nation. Dylan Moran is joining us this morning. You may have seen him being hideously dismembered in Shaun of the Dead. That was an excellent film. Did you like doing a bit of that?
That was great fun to do. People always say that, though, if you ask them how it was to do a film, don't they?
I think they usually
I think they do. You're not allowed to say, no, it was awful. I got rickets. Yes, it was fine. It was fine.
What was great about that film is that I really got the feeling that the people who made it were interested in making a movie. And that doesn't often happen with comedy people doing movies
in
England.
A lot of the time people sort of turn up and go, okay, well, we'll run at the wall and fall down, but we'll do it for an extra hour.
What we have in this, we have a memory, older people would remember in the 70s, there was a trend, coming out here of British TV comedy shows doing films. It'd be like, Are You Being Served, going to Spain, or...
Yeah, they always did that. They always send people away to a resort, or they had to travel, but they put them in a Volkswagen camper van and would send them to somewhere, and it would be raining and it was very disappointing. And
on the Buses.
Yeah.
I love, there's three films of On the Buses. There's On the Buses, there's Holiday on the Buses, and Mutiny on the Buses. And the first one, On the Buses, has a fabulous opening title sequence where I've obviously filmed it in the only sunny day in the history of England. And they've got Blakey standing at the bus stop waiting, and it's his title shot for the opening sequence of the film. Blakey's standing there with his clipboard and it's really sunny, but there's a huge puddle of water in front of him. And then they cut to Reg Varney driving, and then they cut back to Blakey with his clipboard, and back to Reg Varney, and back to... And it just goes on for what seems like about 2 minutes.
Why?
And then finally, this huge wall of water cascades over Blakey.
There you go.
But that's the kind... There was nothing like that in Shaun of the Dead, of course.
No, but... Yeah, I know what you mean about those British comedy films. Most of them are wee. Can we say that on the radio?
I think you can say wee.
Yeah.
What happened in the Are You Being Served one?
They just went to Spa. I never saw it.
I don't even know these original programs. I mean, I've seen them like 2 minutes of them. They're very British, though. People in Ireland didn't pay attention very much.
Right.
I think.
We had, often they would come to Australia and do a Down Under version.
Well, apparently it looks like you've had any and every kind of old toss was sent here for your delectation, wasn't it, then?
I think so.
If On the Buses was coming here to do a road show, you're seriously starved.
I've seen some shorts for a film, and I'm not sure if it came out here. It might be on DVD, called The Actors, with you and Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah, that... it was a very good script, but it sort of rocketed down the toilet when it came out.
Now, often the trailer is misleading and isn't an indication of what's in the film, but it looked like you were doing various characters and doing a lot more stuff.
Makeup, wigs, special ears, all that. That's just acting. Acting, you turn up and they say, go over there, sit down, speak to her, speak to him, scratch your leg, walk off. It's moronic activity.
Speaking of moronic activity, you're part of, at least your tour coincides with the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Is that something that interests you, being part of a comedy festival?
No.
Not at all?
No. No, you mean the sense of community and togetherness and international acts? And no.
Don't hang out with the others?
No, what's the point? They're just, you know, why?
Look at those photographs.
I'm looking at photographs of other people doing shows. Here they are, all full of hope, dreams, you know, seeking to perfect their craft. And
waste of time?
Well, no, it's not a waste of time. I'm sure some of them are, you know, fantastically good at what they do. Others are less so. And, you know, I don't want to see the people who are rubbish, because they're rubbish. And the people who are really, really good and committed and innovative and energetic, you know, obviously are worrying. So, I always, you know, I don't see much live comedy. And when I do, I always think it's strange. I don't like seeing it. It makes me self-conscious to think about standing up there. It's a stupid, stupid way to live.
You look through the catalogue for the comedy festival. And I like it. You just, when you have to do a poster or something, you just have a photo of yourself taken. And it pretty much just looks like you in real life. And it seems there's a lot of, there's three different angles you can take. one is what we call the Coleman in this country, which is based on Jonathan Coleman, which is just pointing.
Yes, and pointing.
Mouth open for no reason.
Yeah.
That one, the Coleman.
Yeah.
Another one is just holding an object, like, say, a globe of the world, a small globe of the world, and just being puzzled by it.
Yeah, or an artichoke.
And it's exactly an artichoke. I'm not sure what it means, but we're going to nut it out over the course of an hour.
An artichoke will be in the title somehow. It will be worked into the title, possibly as an anagram or acrostic, but, you know, it'll be Ben Gunhong's artichoke world somehow.
And then the third one is just leaping in the air.
That is also very popular. Scissors kicking, trying to hit your ears with your knees. These are classic comedy moves. These have been proven again and again scientifically to be some of the funniest positions we can assume.
But there's none of that. I hate to emphasise this, but of course you're well known for being a stand-up in England, but I guess a lot of people here would be surprised to discover that somebody off the telly has another skill. But coming along, they're not going to see leaping, they're not going to see artichokes.
Oh, well, you know, I am working on a vegetable high kick. I do an amazing set of mid-air splits with an aubergine.
Well, there's something to look forward to. Dylan Moran has added extra shows if you want to see him in Melbourne. Tuesday the 25th of April at Hamer Hall, part of the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks.
Good morning.
And if you're, you know, if you don't get tickets to see Dylan's show, obviously there are quite a few left over for Ben Gunhong's Artichoke World. We'll be back with more in a moment on Get This.
Okay.
That's Forever Young Youth Group. You don't get this.
Oh, very nice, Ed. Dylan Moran. I wasn't going to ask him to stick around for the whole show. He was going to have a part of that, I could tell.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Could people hear him? Was it actually going to ear?
Yeah, I could hear him.
Look, I'm a huge fan of Dylan Moran. People have been calling and complaining about him.
Yeah, but
that's what he's like.
Yeah, it is. Kind of what's not good about him, you know. Comes in and flicks through a magazine, yawns a bit. That's great.
It was just too early for him. Yeah. I was reading the bio last night. I'm going, oh, he's not going to be a morning person.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
But it is a great show. And if you don't get to see it, you can... I don't know if the DVD is out here. It's called Monster.
It'd be great to see live, though.
It is great live.
It'd be great to go and watch
Now, back to what do we do on this program normally?
You've got your articles back.
How's that? He's got his...
holding your articles for a while.
Have a look at your articles. I'll have a look at your articles.
Yeah, I've never seen you so panicked, Tony Martin.
And he was looking for something about himself. Did you know something?
Yeah,
let's see what kind of biographical information you've got.
Yeah, we couldn't find it.
And he's looking at this picture of Elton John. This is a picture of someone from Big Brother. Mystifying.
Beckett.
Samuel Beckett. How's that? I've busted out the Samuel Beckett. I've gone, he's from Ireland. Samuel Beckett.
Yeah, I know.
We'll be right.
Yeah. I was going to go left.
I telling stories about me when I was in Endgame? Because we love a bit of Samuel Beckett here at the M's.
Blocks of Beckett.
Yeah, we'll be out. The rubbish bins will be out. We'll be doing a bit of Endgame out of the back of the Thunders. Crap's last tape coming up straight after Supertramp.
Have I told you that sometimes when I was in the Thunder, because I, you know, when we drive around, people would always yell, you know, what do you got? But they started going, what do you got? And I'd yell back, books.
Books.
Literature.
Did that frighten them?
Yeah, just like, normally they're like, pull over, and then they'd be like, keep driving.
John Updike! what have we got here? George Bush, there's sort of all kinds of theories that we're going back to war with a new country. The new country.
Thank goodness.
Have a listen to this quote from George Bush.
We do not want the Iranians to have a nuclear weapon, the capacity to make a nuclear weapon, or the knowledge as to how to make a nuclear weapon.
I don't think you should be allowed to use nuclear weapons if you can't save them.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear.
Nuclear weapon.
Did you ever see, there was a film years ago called Meet the Applegates. Did you ever see that? You remember that one?
Great movie, yeah.
And the scene I always remember is Ed Begley was an alien.
Ed Begley Jr.
Ed Begley Jr. And they were all aliens. And they were trying to learn to be Americans. And the way to do it was to learn to say nuclear. George Bush obviously saw that movie.
Yeah, right.
That's what I got to do. People like nuclear. Now, look, Wheatgate. Dylan Moran, I'm not sure if it was audible or not, but he brought up a very good point. Wheat.
He did.
Wheatgate. I've been having a bet with friends of mine, and I have won the bet.
Which is?
I bet that somebody by the end of the week would do a cartoon in a newspaper with somebody from the Howard government as Sergeant Schultz saying, I know nothing.
You're kidding me.
Yes, indeed.
You're
there it is in today's Herald Sun.
Oh, my goodness.
Mark Knight has got all three of them, Howard, Downer and Vale.
Oh, my goodness.
All as Sergeant Schultz. None of them know nothing.
Wow. Oh, and look, just in case we didn't realise, so there's like a mouse going saying, Schultz lives down the bottom.
There you go.
That's great.
It's made it clear. But what is going on? Alexander Downer was up on the stand yesterday, and already I can feel people turning off around the nation. People don't want to know about the wheat board business.
No.
They need to know, is Kate Langbrook still in the dancing program? That's what they really want to hear about.
And but Hawkins wants to elope.
But we did promise serious issues canvassed properly on this program when we launched it. And do you want to hear some what Alexander Downer has got to say for himself?
Couldn't think of anything better.
Let's cross to him now.
I'm very confused. I mean, they send lots of things to my office. I can't read them all. They send letters. It's like 100,000 letters a day. I'm supposed to read them all. And I don't. I go on the plane. Sometimes they let me go up to where they drive the plane. The other one, the Prime Minister one, he's got people helping him. But I'm just in my office, the foreign business office. I have to put my own shoes on, and sometimes they'll send a man in to help with the laces, but I can't be expected to know everything that's going on. Sometimes I can't work the door on my office. It says pull, but sometimes I push it and it doesn't open. I'm having someone come in to teach me about that, to do it properly. I can do a funny voice. I can do an impression of Kim Beazley. Here we go. Hello, I'm a big fat man. That's it, see. I did that at the SEN thing, what that was. Karaoke night, I think it was. Had all people talking different words from different countries. I couldn't understand them. There was a piece of paper on my desk, and it said some words about the bad things that the people at the wheat factory were doing. Well, I'm not sure what wheat is. I think it's in bread. They must need wheat in overseas countries or something. So they put some money with it, and then the people buy it or something, I don't know. And there's the one, the Saddam one, I don't like him. He was living in a hole with no money or wheat. He didn't have anything. I called them and I talk. I say, hello, is that the wheat man? And there's a voice coming out and it said, I'm from the Department of Wheat. And I said, you're doing bad things, aren't you? I've got a piece of paper that is casting suspicion. And they went, no, we're not. We're doing good things. And I went, okay, sorry. I won't call again. And I called up the deputy one, Mr. Vale, and I said, what's the thing with the wheat man that he's doing wrong? And he said, I can't recall. And I said, what's the business with the letter? And he said, I can't recall. I said, who are you? And he said, I can't recall, I've no idea. I was very confused. And I went and sat in the corner and was very quiet. And then a man came and they took me home and I had a nice glass of milk. And then someone tucked me in and said, everything's going to be all right.
Well, thanks, Mr. Downer. This commission thanks you for your time.
Get this.
Yeah, I can't see any bloody sense in them at all.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
Available from NRMA
Scams
Insurance.
And scandals. Do you want to talk about that next, Ed?
Big time.
Hey, do you understand the whole Wheatgate deal now?
I think that Downer likes a man or something.
What did you say?
I think Downer likes a man or something.
He likes a man with the wheat business. I don't know. That's how I spend my evenings on this show.
I know.
At home, just talking into a tape recorder for hours.
It's great. When you're coming in the morning, I know that if you look a little bit tired, that there's going to be a sketch.
That I've been talking to myself all evening. Let's have some scams. That'll be next on Get This. That'd be Simple Minds with the theme from The Breakfast Club.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Remember when Judd Nelson's walking off at the end of that film through the football field? And the last frame is he jumps in the air and punches the air.
Is that the last frame of the film?
Yeah, it freezes on that.
They freeze on Judd Nelson.
Yeah, and then that song plays in the credits roll.
And he was never seen again.
Oh, dare you.
He'll be seen in a couple of things. Blue City.
Yeah, well, he was good. And you know, we can't talk movies too long, but John Cusack was meant to play that role and then Judd Nelson came in, threw a tennis ball at the director and the director was like, yeah, he's edgy, and he gave him the right.
We are going to do a whole show of just movie talk. We're going to do it. We're going to do it because there's just so much football on Triple M.
Yeah.
And I want our show to just be a little oasis because, you know, more people go to the movies than go to sports.
No.
And yet it's true. Really? More people go to the movies than go to live sports in Australia. I've got an article somewhere.
I'm sure you do.
Somewhere there is. And yet there's hardly any talk about movies. There's like the David and Margaret and, you know, the odd sort of thing on Foxtel.
Yeah.
So we're going to become like the footy show, but of movies. And I'm going to tell you who I'm thinking of getting in to do the ultimate movie panel is a bloke we met on Boytown, Lockie Hume.
Oh, he knows. Yeah, he'd be good.
He knows his movies backwards. And we'll just get people to call up and try and stump us.
Sweet.
Who was freeze-framed at the end of The Breakfast Club? And someone will know.
Judd Nelson.
Let's have that sound, shall we? It's time to climb Talkback Mountain, and I know Mick Molloy did a whole week of Shonky Behaviour.
I know.
Last week. It was fabulous on Tough
Good
Love.
Stuff.
I loved Shonky Week. But, you know, there's always Shonky Behaviour coming at you. A few stories from up north, from Queensland.
I'd
like to include Queensland Shonk on our program. You see this net porn king tortured burglar. A wealthy pornographic website master tortured and injured burglars before dumping them at a police station. Scott Gregory Phillips, 31, pleaded guilty in the district court in Brisbane to one count each of torture and robbery. Apparently some blokes broke into his house and did something wrong, and he's tracked them down and done a bit of Mr. Blonde work on him.
He tracked them down, so it wasn't while they were in his house.
No. He's gone on a Charles Bronson-style vendetta. But the reason I bring it up, that's all very ugly, is that he's described as the millionaire operator of pinkbits.com. And, you know, I just think our CEOs,
millionaire,
our leading businessmen, they aren't setting a good example to the young people and the rest of the community.
Fair enough.
I would have expected better from the manager of pinkbits.com.
Yeah, his reputation has been built on, you know, honesty and...
Yeah, it's not good enough.
Nakedness.
Yeah. Pinkbits.com fans expect better, all right?
Demand.
That's pretty shonky.
Yeah, that's shonky.
What else? Well, obviously, the behaviour of the banks is considered shonky. Yeah. They're now charging, well, not all of them, but some of them are charging, you know, $2 if you just press the wrong button.
That is...
Have you done that? Just...
Well, how are you meant to steal a key card?
Where's the fun?
That's...
So you type in the wrong number for your ATM and then you get a...
$2.
Shot for $2. They just don't have enough money there.
No, that's the problem.
It's the high cost of sacking people and closing down branches. That's what they've got to pay for. And, you know...
Those ads aren't going to pay for themselves.
That's right.
Those awesome ads where they play, you know, all the parts themselves.
What is that?
There's a bank ad where they've gone, all right, you know what? We need to be real. So we'll get everyone who works in the bank to play parts in the ads.
Right.
Which means they're just terrible. And then there's that one bit where they're like, oh, maybe we'll have a disco. And then a disco ball falls down and all these disco lights go off. And they're like, maybe not. It's like the zany part of the bank.
So they found some people who work at banks to be in the app. Swing a whole lot of ATMs in a disco. But what about the Shonky Bank? What about the self-styled governor accused of running an unauthorised online bank? He's been sentenced to 10 weeks in jail for contempt of court. Bankrupt businessman David somebody or other of Nunawading is described on his website as the governor of the state of Sherwood, which is a subdivision of the Principality of Kamside.
What?
The bank operates from a postal address, and it's called the Terra Nova Cash. More than 100 people have deposited money in the Terra Nova Cash with the promise of a 50% annual return.
No, they didn't.
They did.
Why did they fall for that?
It's like the old Steve Martin does a great routine about how, you know, banks always have long, fancy names because you just wouldn't put your money in Fred's bank. But that is a case of 100 people have just found a bank on the internet. A bloke operating from
How much did they put in?
Oh, there's thousands of dollars. He was arrested while trying to withdraw 500 grand from the Bendigo Bank. That's a proper bank, I should point out. So the bloke who runs the Shonky Bank is putting his money in a proper bank.
He knows. That's what Sherwood Bank's a scam.
But would you do that? You're just surfing around on the internet? Oh, well, Bank of Sherwood. Yeah, how much money have we got?
Quite a bit. Life savings, I think.
Send it in.
50.
That's a Shonky scam.
Yeah, it makes me kind of angry, that one.
What else have we got here?
I bring it up, but I have to come back to me, actually. I've genuinely forgotten it as soon as I piped up. All I could think about was the Madonna girly tour as soon as I started talking about that.
There you go. It's Ed's second week on radio. Lots of stuff written.
He's a bro.
Down. Another one from up north, from Queensland. Queenslanders have been warned about a US holiday scam which pressures victims to hand over their credit card details in exchange for a cheap but non-existent trip to Disney World. About 20 people have complained to the Minister of Fair Trading. So they call up and they go, hey, you've won this holiday competition and you're going to be going to Disney World. But as the Minister of Fair Trading points out, before responding to a promotion, ask yourself, can you win something you haven't entered?
That's what I was about to ask. I didn't enter, but thanks.
So you just won it. Right.
And so what happens? Do you show up at the airport or what's the scam? Like, I can just call people and say you're going to Disney World.
That's it. Then they just hang up and they've got your credit card details and you never hear from them again.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. We used to get people to cluck like they were chickens for, say, they won the KFC prize. As a kid, we'd ring up and pretend we're from a radio station and say, if you cluck like a chicken for 20 seconds, you get free KFC.
And you're still pretending that you're from a radio station to this very day.
Call in if you cluck like a chicken.
We want to hear about scams and scandals because, not scandals, that'll be a whole separate whole week of the show, but scams, Shonky deals that you've fallen victim to.
Or done yourself. Change names or whatever to protect the innocent. Mm. Good stuff.
We had a great reaction to your one last, your friend.
Daryl.
Who praise sort of Malak-like on backpackers buying their cars because they've got to get rid of it in a day. He buys it for about $50, sells them for, 10 grand?
In his own words, you can make about a grand a car.
Is that right? Well, a lot of people are calling up for details on that one. Call us at Talkback Mountain with the Shonky scam that you've either instituted, perpetrated, or fallen victim to on 133353. That's Jet. Are You Gonna Be My Girl? It's Triple M. It's Get This with myself and Ed Cavalier.
Hey,
Wondering, where's the co-host today? It was Dylan Moran. Yeah. Nothing went horribly wrong. He was only ever going to come in here for two breaks.
Yeah.
He didn't have enough coffee in him to last the whole show.
I feel like we'd woken him up. It felt bad.
I just felt like we were interrupting his life.
Yeah, that's exactly what I felt. Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry we dragged you in.
Who have we got on the line? Oh, where are we? We're on Talkback Mountain. Whatever that, I don't understand the chick bit at the beginning. I've been listening to that.
It's the pick going into the rock face.
Okay, glad we've sorted that out. Yeah. Shonky scams, have you fallen victim to them? Brad, are you there?
I certainly am, guys. I actually haven't fallen victim to this, but it came through an email. A gentleman from the Ukraine.
There's the first signpost.
Exactly, and they sell Ukrainian musical instruments into Australia.
Such as?
And they need somebody, because it takes a long time for the money to clear the Ukrainian bank, they'll give me 50% of the $10,000 it costs for a diamond inlaid guitar if I put the money through my account and then forward it to them.
Oh.
So So they haven't done a lot of research, I wouldn't think, because there wouldn't be a lot of people from the Ukraine interested in buying folk music instruments here, I wouldn't think.
It's quite elaborate, though. I love how they've got the diamond encrusted. Yeah, they've gone, that's the little detail that's going to sell it.
That's what
I haven't bothered with it because, of course, I've got an auntie in Nigeria that's going to send me some money very soon.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And a large case of Viagra, too, exactly. Presumably. I wonder, really, whether there is such a country or region as the Ukraine.
Wow.
Have you found it on the map, Ed?
I'm yet to be convinced.
I think it's something that just exists on the internet. Watch out for that one. Someone asking you to help them shift some Ukrainian musical instruments. I'd be suspicious. Have we got Andrew there? You there, Andrew?
G'day, how are you going?
Good. Hey, what happened to you?
We got a letter in the mail that said we'd won €700,000 in a Spanish lottery.
Congratulations.
And we hadn't entered it.
You hadn't entered it. There
no,
you
that's
go.
What kind of the first sign was. So my wife was very optimistic that we might have won.
Right. Oh, right.
Well, she's from Italy. Spain's not too far from Italy, so she thought there might be a connection there.
That was it. That was the thread they were hanging the scam on.
Well, we didn't get conned by the scam, but it cost us about $40 in phone calls ringing Spain, ringing the consulate, and finding out whether it was genuine.
We've won the scam.
You had to actually ring up a number between a certain hours to claim your prize. And then they wanted your credit card number.
That's what the scam was. Yeah. So why would you need to give your credit card to win some money?
Yeah. You had to give money to clear the funds.
How much?
They said about 2%.
Right.
But I rang outside of those hours because I thought this is a bit dodgy. And I just got this guy and picked up the phone and he goes, hello? I said, hey, is this the Ministry de Lottery? And he goes, oh, yes, it is.
Yes, hang on, I check. Are we Ukrainian musical instruments? What on this line? Yes, Spanish lottery, correct.
Bueno, bueno.
All right, well, again,
congratulations.
I'm not sure that the euro is in fact a real currency.
Is that right?
I'm not sure that exists either.
What about the drachma?
The drachma, it's a car, I think. Have we got Paul on the line? Paul?
Yes, g'day. How you going, guys?
Hey, Paul.
Victim or running one?
Yeah.
No, just know someone who knows one who knows someone who ran one.
Did our lawyers get on the line and tell you to say that?
It's you, Paul. Just admit it.
It's not. My wife used to know a bloke, though, when she lived up in Sydney, and he was into all sorts of scams. But the one that tickled my fancy was where he put an ad out in a certain magazine. All about raving on about your bill's too expensive. You know, send this company $50. We'll give you everything you need to cut your bills in half. And talked on about halving your bills and cutting your bills in half. So people would send $50 into the and then he'd send them a $2 pair of plastic scissors.
Oh, right. So he's down the $2 shop with a huge crate of scissors going.
Exactly.
Excellent.
$48 profit.
And so, did you make a profit on... Did the bloke make a profit on this?
Look, she doesn't know. She didn't have a lot to do with him after that, but, I thought that was pretty good.
Pretty good, you said, Paul.
No, that's a beauty. And, I mean, that's sort of a progression, really, from, you know, is your fridge running, really? They've gone from that to crime.
I once, that reminds me. Someone once rang our house and said, it's doing a survey. Do you have the following items? A computer, a big television, a DVD player. I was like, come on.
Yeah. And when are you out?
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't want to call again when you're not there to get follow-up information about what you've got at your house.
Jewelry-wise.
Okay. There's some scams. Are we running a bit late today, Bear?
We are a bit.
I'm going to blame Dylan Moran.
There you go.
I'm going to blame his long pauses. Okay. Thanks to everyone who called in and fessed up or was a victim of some shock.
And Paul, watch out.
Here at Talkback Mountain.
Get this.
It's a very rare moth. Yes, I know. But I will take an interest in that moth.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
It's Ice House winding things up here at Get This on Triple M around the nation. I apologise to people at the various network entry points. We're running a tad late. It was because we had a lot of complaints about Dylan Moran. I thought we've got to pack as much gear in as we can.
And I forgot what I was going to say. And that was 45 seconds of me just going, which was great listening.
That'll be on the podcast. The podcast is up. There's some kind of podcast on the website.
Yeah.
I think it might be the show we did with Tom Gleisner last week, which people enjoyed. That's up there. It's got the Beasley cheese incident. We've had a lot of requests for that. Yeah, is there something worth watching on TV tonight?
It might be.
Yeah.
Thank God, yeah. Speaking of Tom Gleisner, thank God you're here. Is tonight, 7:30, Channel 10. Now, awesome guest this week. We've got Sean McAuliffe. Fifi Box, Angus Sampson and Matt Newton.
Oh, well, that was a fabulous show last week.
Yeah.
And expecting more of the same tonight. So just before we go, here's, you know, people, celebrities come to visit Australia and they want to visit the big sites. They want to see what we've got here. Here's where Ashley Simpson's been.
We did stop by Louis Vuitton and Chanel yesterday.
Oh, there you God. Go. You got to see the Louis Vuitton and Chanel because they don't have them overseas. That's important values for the youth of today, isn't it? You're getting angry there, Ed.
I can't take it anymore.
Okay. Thank you very much to Dylan Brand for coming. And whether you like the segment or not, he's a great guy. He's got a great show happening. If it's coming to your town, go and see it. Black Books, obviously, is available on DVD. We better get out of here before we're in more trouble. The word of the day, I think, was nuclear. We'll be back tomorrow with comedian Mark Watson. And it's all thanks to Census 1, 2, 3, 4.